for Piske Corona this on this particular day, when we're just a few days, Sukkot is around the corner. We'll speak about the mitzvah of Sukkah a little bit, how it might apply today during this pandemic, how the pandemic might impact on the mitzvah of Sukkah. And we'll talk about a little bit the mitzvah of Lulav. Perhaps we could talk about how to build the Sukkah in order to allow in maximum air. We could talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Hakafos, which is more of a minhag than a mitzvah, but nevertheless, it's quite essential to Simchas Torah. Now, the text for today is primarily Rav Shechter's tshuva called in Yoni Sukkos, which I hope you received. I will quickly summarize the first two paragraphs that aren't so relevant to us, but give us a sense of a background. And he points out that based on a Gemara at the end of Megillah, and it appears elsewhere in Shas, we have a principle called Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag Darshim Behilchas Achag. We have to study the laws of a holiday in advance. We can't wait till the last minute. And he points out, therefore, that on the 15th of Elul, we should already be preparing for the 15th of Tishrei, and that is for the mitzvah of Sukkah. He speaks about how a person could claim anus, that there were circumstances beyond his control, if he did all his preparations properly, if he thought everything out. For example, if he purchased the dalad minim on time in a due fashion. But if he waited for the last minute and he didn't enter... Just one second... If he didn't prepare in advance, then he can't claim anus. That's not mitigating circumstances because he didn't prepare in advance. So, for example, if a person has to be within a certain parameter of Yerushalayim in order to bring the Korban Pesach, he has to already beforehand anticipate where he's going to be within that 30-day period. To say, well, you know, I didn't take all the precautions and I didn't make all the preparations in order to make sure I was in the right place for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, that's not going to be a valid excuse. Point number two, again, just in terms of background, is that there seems to be a very definite connection, a close connection, between the mitzvah of Sukkah on the 15th of Tishrei and the mitzvah of Matzah, and before it, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach on the 15th of Nisan. And that's based on the famous Gezeirah Shavuot, which is called Tesvav Tesvav. Now, in terms of Pesach, what that would mean is that, again, 30 days before the Chag, I'm already preparing my matzahs, I'm learning the halachas of matzahs, so that everything will be ready for the mitzvah of matzah on the Leil HaPesach. In terms of the Korban Pesach, there was another element in the equation, a very unique halacha in Hilchas Korban Pesach, which has direct bearing on our discussion for today regarding Sukkah in our times. And the Gemara says in Pesachim that when they ate the Korban Pesach on the night of the 15th, they had to make sure that there was enough room for everybody. What do I mean? So this is based on a sugya in the Korban Pesach part of Pesach, and that's Pehei, called Gagim V'Alios Lonis Kadshu. And again, just to give it to you in a nutshell, what that means is that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Korban Pesach has to be eaten within the confines of Yerushalayim, is in the karka. It's on the ground itself. It's not above the ground. So I can't sit on, for example, my roof or any sort of higher place in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. As a result, if let's say you had a chabura, you had a group of people eating the Korban Pesach, and there was a limited amount of space, you had to make sure that each person, or for that matter, each group of people, would have enough time to eat the Korban Pesach. Now, the Korban Pesach has what you call a beginning zone and an end zone. It's a time earlier than which you cannot eat the Korban Pesach, and a time later than which you cannot eat the Korban Pesach. In terms of the deadline for Korban Pesach, we have the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that is Ad Chatzos. Eina Pesach Nechal El Ad Chatzos. So we'll call it midnight. So you have to make sure that you eat the Korban Pesach by midnight. What's the earliest time you can eat the Korban Pesach? Now, you and I would have said, just shooting from the hip, that the earliest time to eat the Korban Pesach would be what we call Tosefes Yontif. And with regard to Pesach, like any Yom Kadosh, any day that's Niskadosh, that is sanctified, you can accept the Kedusha even before nightfall. So take, for example, if nightfall on Leila Pesach would be at 7 p.m., and I would accept Kedushas Yontif at, for all intents and purposes, at 5:36 p.m., an hour and more before Seis HaKochavim, I should be able to eat the Korban Pesach at that point. Now, that's very important because if you have groups of people coming in to eat the Korban Pesach, and each group wants to get its time and its location is somewhat limited, then you want to expand the time period for the eating so that one group could eat, finish up, and now the second group could come in, and the third and the fourth. However, Tosis points out in Masechet Pesachim that, in fact, the earliest time for eating the Korban Pesach is with nightfall. And the normal category or halacha of Tosefes Yontif does not apply to the case of Korban Pesach, because the Torah says, V'ochlu es habosar b'layla hazeh. And the word layla means nighttime after Tzeis HaKochom, lafuke, to exclude any time before nightfall, even though technically you've already accepted Yontif, you're already prohibited and enjoined from all the categories of labor of Yontif, but nevertheless, despite Tosefes Yontif, it's not Laila, because Laila depends upon the reality of Tzeis HaKochavim. So it's too early and it's premature to eat the Pesach, even under these very pressured conditions where we want to get one group in after the other before Tzeis HaKochavim. And this leads us to our discussion for today, and to a very striking, perhaps, parallel or comparison between our situation on Sukkot and the mitzvah of Korban Pesach back in its day. When is the earliest time to eat in the Sukkah? And the reason why this becomes very pertinent in our time is because many people will have to eat in what we call a community sukkah. And because of social distancing, we're going to have one group coming in after the other. So once again, in a situation where, let's say, the Beis HaKnesses builds its own sukkah, and you don't have your own personal sukkah, and you're invited by the synagogue to eat in the sukkah, you'll have to register with the synagogue as to what time you'll come into the sukkah on the night of Sukkot. You can't come in early, you can't come in later, because there's a group before you and a group after you. So we have now two issues in this particular scenario. One issue is going to be, what happens if I'm last online? And if that be the case, I'm starving. There's a mitzvah Simchas Yontif in addition to the mitzvah Sukkah. I'm waiting hours because they gave me a late slot at 10 p.m. And I started my yontif as early as 7 p.m. You know, for 3 hours I'm starving. Then there's a second issue. As we said, in the case of the Korban Pesach, we want to expand the amount of time within a limited space to have one group after the other and fit in as many groups as we can. When can the earliest group come in? Well, with regard to Sukkot, it doesn't say V'yachlu es abosa b'layla hazeh. Nowhere in the Torah does it say the word layla with regard to the mitzvah of Sukkot. However, as I mentioned earlier, we have a gzeirah shavah 2-2 between Tesvav and Tesvav. And that, if you take what I call the expanded definition of that gzeirah shavah, we'll have in a minute another approach, which is a more limited scope definition. But in the expanded scope, it means that all the requirements and the regulations that apply to the Korban Pesach, and for that matter to the mitzvah of matzah on the 15th of Nisan, apply ipso facto through via this gzeirah shavah to the 15th of Tishrei. And this is nothing to joke about, because number one, what it means is that the latest time to eat your seuda, let's call it a kezias pas. Again, I'm not sure if it's kezias is enough. Maybe you have to eat more than a kezias kibetza. But whatever the shear is for that achila of sukkah, that has to be in the sukkah on the first night. Other nights, other days of sukkahs, the balance of sukkahs is voluntary. If I eat, I have to eat in the sukkah, but I don't have to eat at all. But on this night, the 15th, I have to eat. And when is the latest time that I can eat? And we'll soon see the Rishonim that the latest time to eat the Seuda and that pas for the mitzvah of Sukkah is Chatzos, is midnight. So that's in the end zone, and we're comparing the mitzvah of Achila B'Sukkah to the mitzvah of Achilas Korban Pesach. And even though it doesn't say Laila in Sukkah, it only says Laila in Korban Pesach, we're going to borrow the two and equate them through the mechanism called Gzeira Shavah Tesvav Tesvav. And just like in Korban Pesach, the latest time, if we pass it like Reb Elozer ben Azariah, is Chatzos, so too in Sukkah, we have to eat no later than Chatzos. Now we go back in time, to the earliest time to eat in the Sukkah. Well, if the earliest time to eat my matzah, based on the equation between matzah and Korban Pesach, so it's as if in the case of matzah, the Torah had used the word laila. In truth, it's strange because the Torah doesn't say ba'laila tochal matzah. It says ba'erev tochal matzah. But be that as it may, through the gzeirah shavah, we're going to require laila in matzah. That means that the earliest time to eat matzah is going to be tzeis hakochavim. And now, via the 2-2, the gzeirah shavah, the earliest time to eat my kibetza, let's say, in the sukkah, on the night of sukkahs, is going to be tzeis hakochavim, and not before. Which is going to put us into a bind, because we could have had a real expansion of the time for using this communal sukkah to get the first group, and maybe the second and the third group even, from the time of Tosefes Yontif, let's say from Plaga Minchen on, whenever is the earliest time for Tosefes Yontif. So who are these Rishonim who assume that the time periods, the two end zones, or shall we call them the bookends, for the mitzvah of Sukkah are defined by the bookends of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach and Matzah? Who are those Rishonim? And the main sheet is really the sheet of Tosfos. Tosfos says, at the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, the last perek in Pesachim, that all the mitzvahs of the night of Pesach have to be fulfilled before Chatzos. So, for example, Tosis would want all four kosos of Yayin to be drunk before Chatzos. Now, in the case of Koshel Halel, that's going to mean that Halel should be recited before Chatzos, just like the Korban Pesach was eaten before Chatzos. That's half the story. The other half of the story is that the first of the Dalet Kosos, which we call the Kos of Kiddush, has to be drunk after Seis HaKochavim. And that's exactly what Tosfos says. That just like we cannot eat the Korban Pesach during the time period of Tosefes Yontif, so too we require Lila for the mitzvah of matzah and for all those mitzvahs that are connected to matzah. And they're all built around a structure which is called Sipur Yetzis Mitzrayim, and that includes the mitzvah of Kiddush. So it's really amazing that according to Tosfos, the earliest time for Kiddush on the night of Pesach would be Tzeis HaKochavim. Now, truth be told, that a later Rishon, way after Tosfos, and that's the Rashbeitz, he writes in a sefer called Yavin Shmua that he says, Nirish etzorech levarech al achilas matzah achar tzeis hakochavim ubazeh ein safek. So he embraces the sheet of Tosfos as far as matzah is concerned, that for matzah we have to wait till after tzeis. But he says, when it comes to the Dalid Kosos, Ein ha-minog l'dadek b'koshel kiddush el mosifim michol al kodesh. Very interesting. He makes a distinction between matz on the one hand and kos shel kiddush on the other hand, which means that although the Rashbeitz accepted the fundamental principle that the laws of Korban Pesach have an impact on the laws of matzah, and just like Korban Pesach has to be eaten no earlier than Seis HaKochavim and no later than Chatzos, so to the matzah, like the Korban Pesach, has to be eaten during those two bookends. But as far as Kiddush is concerned, which is the first of the Dalet Kosos, he codifies a minog that we're not medagdic, and we can recite the first Kos of Kiddush with Tosefes Yontif, whenever a person accepts upon himself Yontif. So that's the Shita of Tosfos and the Rashbeitz. We'll add to this the Shita of the Rosh. The Rosh says that the mitzvah of Korban Pesach could be fulfilled during the time of Tosefes. We're not going to take the pasuk Lila literally, but Lila really means just the time period that's sanctified, which is usually Lila, but I can accept that sanctity earlier, and therefore matzah can be eaten during that time period of Tosefes Yontif. Now, it seems that this Shita of the Rosh became very relevant when old age homes came to be. Well, I don't know the history, if anyone can tell me when was the first old age home established. And in these old age homes, the elderly would fall asleep very early, so it was very important to start the Seder as early as possible, and for sure to eat the matzah as early as possible. And this was called in the poskim Shas Hadchak. And because of the Shas Hadchak, they would allow, relying on the Rosh, to eat the matzah after Tosefes Yontif, when the sun is still to be seen on the horizon. Okay, this sort of rounds out our discussion of Tesvav B'Nisa. Now, as far as Tesvav B'Tishrei is concerned, when you open up the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch Tafresh Lamed Tes, he writes that Yalfina Leil Rishon Shel Sukkah Mi Leil Rishon Shel Chag B'Gzeir Shava 2-2. That the Gzeir Shava applies to the night of Sukkahs, that the kickoff, the earliest time for the mitzvah of Achila B'Sukkah, is Laila, is Tzeis HaKochavim. And he even goes a step further, and he writes, Eino nochon lomar kiddush b'leil rishon shel sukkahs kodem Tzeis HaKochavim. In other words, not only is the Achila necessary to be performed, it's necessary to perform it after Tzeis HaKochavim, the Achila of that, we'll call it a Kebetza of Pas in the Sukkah. But that achila is not a separate mitzvah of achila, it's a mitzvah of sukkah. And now you're going to make a bracha on the sukkah. Now in Kiddush, we make the bracha on the sukkah because we're going to drink the wine. Therefore, the Rambam says, don't make Kiddush before Tzeis HaKochavim. So it's interesting, if I would quiz my yeshiva students and ask them, well, on which holiday or holidays, you'll fill in the blanks, does Kiddush have to wait to be postponed and cannot be recited even though I was makabel on myself Kiddushas Hayom, and paradoxically, even though I have the Kiddushas Hayom, nevertheless I can't make Kiddush, even though Kiddush is on the Kiddushas Hayom. And of course, you know, my favorite student in the back yells out Leil HaPesach because he knows that on the night of Pesach we have to wait till Tzeis HaKochavim because Kiddush is the first of the Dalet Kosos. But now I have a real smart guy who's sitting on the other side of the classroom and he tells me that I shouldn't make Kiddush on Leil Sukkos after Tosefis Yontif, but I should wait until after Tzeis HaKochavim. And the reason for that is because the Rambam writes that since in Kiddush he's going to make a bracha on Sukkah, then the mitzvah of Sukkah is equated to the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, and it requires Laila, even though nowhere in Hilchus, in the Torah, in the verses in the Bible, does the Torah say in the context of Sukkah that you need Laila. But that's the Rambam's opinion. So the Rambam is taking us one giant step further with this Gezeirah Shavah. He's applying it to the achila of a kezayis or a kebetza in the sukkah. It's going to require lila, which means after tzeis. And Kiddush as well, because Kiddush is the bracha on the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah, like the mitzvah of matzah and Korban Pesach, requires lila. That's the Rambam. Now, if you stop right here for Ashkenazic Jews, that's bad news if we're going to have these communal sukkahs. And of course, you know, you may say to me, Rabbi, you know, here in Eretz Yisrael, everyone has their own sukkah. There in Toronto, everybody has their own sukkah. But you should know that there are countries in the world, especially in Russia and many other countries in that area of the world, where they actually still to this day have communal sukkahs. And people don't build their own sukkahs. Now, because of the pandemic, it could be that those numbers will go up. Because I'm not sure, you know, well, again, this is hard for the Canadians to relate to, but here we're in lockdown. And that means that our families are not joining us for sukkahs, unless the Mashiach comes. That means that a lot of people who are in my age bracket are not building their normal large sukkahs. And one might be tempted to say that if a couple is very old and they don't have their children to help them with the sukkah, they might just as well, you know, daven in the sukkah of the shul. Again, a lot of minyanim are going to be taking place in sukkahs, which is a good thing. That's not a bad thing per se. But then right after the minyan, you know, get down to eating in the sukkah. But we want to make groups. We don't want to have too much, social one on top of the other, kep of kep. So therefore, we want to space it out. And according to the Ramah, we're not going to be able to begin this whole process of eating in the sukkah until after Tzeis HaKochav. Now, one of the Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir, back in Europe, his name is Rabbi Cheskel Borstein, was a Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Brisker. And he quotes Reb Chaim in his very famous sefer called Divrei Yecheskel. Reb Chaim didn't understand this Ramah. And he said the following. He says, all right, you want to accept the Ramah and the kezayis of pas, like the kezayis of matzah and the kezayis of Korban Pesach before it has to be eaten after tzeis. That I can accept, says Reb Chaim. But to take it a step further and say that the mitzvah of sukkah requires Tzeis HaKochavim, how do we know such a thing? And again, there's a lot of lumdus here in conceptuality. We don't have time to conceptualize this, but just keep in mind that there are two ways of understanding the achila b'sukkah on the night of Sukkot, that chiyuv of one single pas of either kezayis or a kebetza. And one way is understanding it, that just like there's a chiyuv of eating a kezayis of matzah on Leil Pesach, there's a parallel chiyuv of eating a kezayis of pas on Leil Sukkos. The only difference is that on Sukkos I have to eat the kezayis in the sukkah. But it's not a mitzvah of Sukkos. It's not a mitzvah of sukkah, I meant to say. The other way of understanding is that it's a mitzvah of sukkah. So the Ramah understood that the mitzvah of eating a kezayis on the first night in the sukkah is a mitzvah of sukkah. And therefore, it's not enough to tell me that you're going to eat your kezayis after Tzeis HaKochavim. You're going to make kiddush after Tzeis HaKochavim because the mitzvah of sukkah requires that you wait till after Tzeis HaKochavim. But Reb Chaim didn't see it that way. Apparently Reb Chaim differentiated between the achila per se and the yeshiva. There are two mitzvahs. There's achila and yeshiva. In any event, can we begin our rotation system, I think that's a good word, with the first group, Mibojom, when it's still light out, and the group has davened, they were mekabel on themselves, Tosefes Yontif, let them go into the sukkah and make kiddush. And they'll postpone the achil of kezayis till a little bit later on, but again, we can get the ball rolling and get people to make kiddush and to begin washing and whatever it takes, and then we'll lead up to the achila of matzah. I'm sorry, the achila of the kezayis pas in the sukkah. However, Rav Shechter has a prima god, and he wants to push this prima god. Now, in order to appreciate the Prima Gadim, we have to mention that an earlier contemporary of the Prima Gadim was the Noda B'Yehuda. And there was a big controversy between the Noda B'Yehuda and the Prima Gadim. Again, they didn't see each other, but in conceptual terms, they were at loggerheads about the following issue. And that is, what constitutes pas as far as sukkah is concerned? In matzah, we have halacha of lechem oni, to the exclusion of what's called matzah shira. So if you bake your matzahs with various kinds of liquids instead of water, so it's not just flour and water, you use fruit juices or possibly eggs. It's in some countries in the world, you'll see they sell grape matzahs. I didn't say they were great. I said they were grape. And this cannot be used for the mitzvah of matzah, because the Torah says lechem oni. So the Noda B'Yehuda says that has no bearing on Leil Sukkos. If a person wants to eat, call it pas ashira, on the night of Sukkos, no problem, no holds barred. And the Prima Gadim says, no, what are you talking about? We have Gzeirah Shavah, Tesvav. And if the Torah says with regard to matzah on the 15th of Nisan, that Pas Ashira is excluded, then Hu Adin on the 15th of Tishrei, Matzah Ashira or Pas Ashira is excluded. And there's no question about it, that this controversy between the Noda B'Yehuda and the Prima Gadim is very fundamental. Because what they're arguing about is, to what extent do I understand the scope of this Gzeirah Shavah? How far do I go with it? For example, we said in the name of the Ramah, that the latest time to eat your pas on the night of Sukkos is Chatzos. Well, that could make sense if you accept the Prima Gadim, who has an expanded scope definition of Tesvav. And the Prima Gadim excludes Ashira in the case of Sukkos, based on the Gzeirah Shavah, and therefore the Ramah logically would say that after Chatzos has got to be excluded as far as the mitzvah of Kizayis in Sukkah. However, we don't know that the Prima Gadim was accepted la'alocha, and it seems, although I'm not clear about which post can actually go on record that agree with the Nod B'Yehuda, that A, as far as Matzah Shira is concerned, I'm using that term loosely, a Pasah Shira, it would certainly qualify for the night of Sukkos. And there are certain challahs that you make with a lot of eggs and so forth, that would be fine. Furthermore, these poskim maintain that the law of Chatzos and that boundary line only applies to Korban Pesach or to Matzah. We have a definite equation between the laws of Pesach and the laws of Matzah, but we're not going to take that and apply that to Sukkos. And with that in mind, we can begin to say the following, that the Matan Ephraim, one of the later poskim, says that le'inyan achila kodem chatzos shehizkir amah eino ela chibuv mitzvah. He says it would be very nice to eat your kizayis in the sukkah before chatzos, but it's only chibuv mitzvah. And if that be the case, then we might have room to allow that first group, etc., etc., to make kiddush and even eat in the sukkah before Tseis HaKochavim during the time of Tosefis Yontif. Why? Well, you remember that we had mentioned the Rosh earlier, and let me just go back to the Rosh for a moment. The Rosh, which we relied on B'Shas HaTchak in the Moshav Zkenim, as we called it, writes that you could be Mekayim the mitzvah of Korban Pesach even with Tosefis Yontif. So even if we go back to the source of the Gzeir Shav of Tesvav, in the case of Korban Pesach, it could be that we can rely on the Rosh. But furthermore, even if I want to accept Tosis' Shita, and that means that the Korban Pesach is limited to the two bookends of Tseis and Chatzos, nevertheless, I don't have to rely on the Ramah in his major jump forward to apply the Gzeir Shava to the mitzvah of Sukkah on the night of Sukkos. And therefore, Yesh Makom Gadol Lomar Shezelo Shaykh Linyin Sukkah. And again, it's a Sfek Sveka, because number one, it could be even in Korban Pesach itself, you might be able to eat after Tosefis Yontif. And that's the Rosh Hashita. And not only that, we're not convinced that the mitzvah of Sukkah is limited by the same bounds through this Gezeirah Shava. And Tosef says, well, you can't be Mekayim the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, the mitzvah of Matzah before it's Laila. But who says that Tosfos would apply that to Sukkah? That was the Ramah's major jump, and we don't have to necessarily accept that. And add to that the fact that we're not sure if the mitzvah of Sukkah requires the achila, or it's a separate mitzvah achila in the sukkah. If you remember that discussion that we had in the name of the Divrei Yechezkel, so that it could be that Tosefes Yontif would certainly be enough for the mitzvah of sukkah, according to that svara, even if the achila of Kizayis has to be postponed till after Tseis. So therefore, there's many, many reasons to rely in a case of a rotation in a sukkah, in a communal sukkah, during our period of time, that we can get the ball rolling and make a bracha and recite kiddush and make the bracha on the sukkah even after Tosefis Yontif, without having to wait necessarily until after Tseis HaKochav. Now we go on to a second issue. This year, Sukkot falls on Shabbos. In Chutz Laretz, we have a second day, a Yontif Sheni, and once again, we're looking for the possibility on Yontif Sheni to accept Tosefes Yontif when the sun is still, you know, still shining, and to start the mitzvah of Sukkah at that early time period. The only problem is that it's Shabbos. Now, watch what happens. Ma'ariv on Shabbos in Chutz Laretz on Motzei Shabbos, meaning Saturday night, will be a little bit of a different Ma'ariv. It'll have what's called Vatodieni, which means Havdalah. In addition, it's going to be a Ma'ariv of Yontif. So, for all intents and purposes, this Motzei Shabbos Ma'ariv will be a Ma'ariv of Yontif, of Shalosh Regalim, because the din of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias. However, we're going to add Vatodieni. Now imagine, Vatodieni is Avdol, and it really ends Shabbos, but the sun is still shining. So at this point, Rav Schechter gets a little bit nervous, and he doesn't know whether we can start the communal sukkah early Mibod Yom by davening Ma'ariv early with Vatodienu and Avdolah, accepting upon ourselves Kedushas Yontif when it's still Shabbos. And he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who says the following, wait, Joe, just listen to this point so you'll have it, who says that the whole concept of Tosefes Shabbos or Tosefes Yontif only applies when there's no Isur Malacha. So you can now accept upon yourself an Isur Malacha. Says Rav Schechter, if that be the case, is it Shaykh to have Tosefes Yontif on Shabbos? I'm enjoined from Malacha by virtue of the fact that it's Shabbos. So again, if it wasn't Shabbos, I go from one day of Yontif to the second day of Yontif. So I want to start the second day of Yontif early. That's fine. But to go from Shabbos into Yontif, is there such a thing as Tosefes Yontif? And Rav Schechter adds another point. And he says that every rabbi in his own community has to be very careful about this. People might get the misimpression that Shabbos is ended. And he writes, I just quote his language, he says, Ala Rav Amora Hora, Mora di Asra, Likva Ulai Tetzi Mizetakola, Sheyasu Malacha, Viechalu Es HaShabbos, Kodim Tzeisakol Chavim. I think what he has in mind here, I'm not sure, is cooking, let's say, for example, right? If it's Yontif and no longer Shabbos, because I already took upon myself Yontif, then I'm allowed to cook. Well, my wife is allowed, you know, she's preparing the Yontif meal for Yontif Sheni in Chutz Laretz. And therefore he writes that in every community, if they want to start their round of Sukkos for Yontif Sheni early, meaning after Kabbalah's Tosefes Yontif, then no one should take it upon themselves in their particular community to do so without getting the okay from the Mor D'Asra. Which I'm a little confused about Clanton Park. But in any event, whoever the Mor D'Asra is, he's going to have to paskin the Shaila as to whether or not we're going to allow people to start Yontif early, which implies that we're ending Shabbos early. First of all, I don't even know if you can end Shabbos early. Because what's Tosefes Yontif when you're already Osir B'Malach? But secondly, even if I disregard that lumdus of Rav Soloveitchik, but nevertheless, I'm still stuck with the issue of possibly creating a takola, and people might begin to think that Shabbos is over when it's not over. And this, by the way, is a general question about how early are you allowed to end Shabbos. You know, normally we daven Ma'ariv when it's still light out, let's say during a weekday. Do we do so on Shabbos? It's a bit of a push. Again, the Gemara seems to assume that it is such a possibility, but we're always worried about Takol. So again, it's Plaga Mincha on Shabbos in Clanton Park, this coming Shabbos. And I, in order to start my sukkahs and go into the sukkah and eat my kezias or kibetza of the first night of sukkahs, because Yom Tov Sheni has the status of the first night, I want to daven Ma'ariv. It's Plaga Mincha. I'm going to add in a Yom Tov davening Vatodieni. I was Makabel Tosefis Yom Tov, and I'm going into my sukkah. It reminds me of the sugya, by the way, of Chavilis, because now I pile up two mitzvahs. I'm going to have my Shalashudis in the sukkah, and that's going to be my Sudas Leil Rishon Shalcha. Yeah, Joe, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to why is he asking the question now? We had it on Rosh Hashanah too.
On Rosh Hashanah.
That was for everybody.
Well, I think he's assuming that because of the nature of the mitzvah sukkah, we're in a rush. You know what I mean? We want to end Shabbos, so to speak, early so that we can start our whole sukkah rotation, I think. But, you know, you could always ask in general all sorts of questions. Okay. Now he wants to ask the question which I find the most fascinating of all questions. And that is, if you lose the lottery, so to speak, and it says on your piece of paper, show up at 10 p.m. in the sukkah, do you have to starve yourself until 10 p.m.? Or can we allow you to eat whatever you have to eat? Now, he mentions the following. As far as the rotation in the communal sukkah is concerned, every family that goes into the sukkah will wash, after Kiddush obviously, and eat a kezias or a kibetza of pas. The rest of the meal, which means the fruit, the meat, and desserts and so forth and so on, that they'll eat in the house, because we got to get them out of there to get the next group in. And he says that's for sure okay, because number one, he was Makayim the Iker Mitzvah of Kizayis Pas in the Sukkah, and number two, he was eating Bederech Aroy outside the Sukkah. He has a discussion here, which I didn't have time to research, very fascinating question about whether or not he has to bench before he leaves the Sukkah, because if he doesn't bench, then anything he eats in the house is part and parcel of the Sukkah, of the Suda that he started in the Sukkah. And that might make it into what's called an Achilas Keva, and he's not allowed to eat that outside the Sukkah. Okay, that's something else. But let's assume, just to make life easy for ourselves, he eats his kibetza, he's like a real brisker, he benches, and he's out of there. Like, you know, this is something that's unheard of. But all to facilitate a group rotation in the Sukkah. So, Rabosi, you have to admit that even if this is not relevant in most cases, it's very fascinating. In other words, what I'm seeing here, as I mentioned to you a dozen times, is that Corona, for all it's worth, and as much as we want to get rid of it, and we prayed so hard on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah, but nevertheless, it did stimulate the minds of the greats into shailos that probably were not raised for who knows how many centuries. The equation between rotation in a sukkah, a communal sukkah, in the case of Karban Pesach, because you have to eat the karban on the karka, Yushalayim, I mean, it's really fascinating. Okay. He writes, B'mokom shetzrichim lechol b'seirigin. Seirigin means this rotation. Chabura achar chabura. V'yitztarchu lamtin zman merubat sheyagia tor shalahem. So it's going to take a long time until they get called into the sukkah, so to speak. He says, "Efshar lahachshiv ezekim etztayer hapotu min hasukkah." That maybe they can eat outside the sukkah, and then they'll go in at 10 o'clock. And he doesn't touch on the issue of Kiddush, how you could eat before Kiddush, I don't know.
Also, Rav, don't we have that same question when it rains? What are the questions
okay.
at that point?
So here's the story. I have in front of me a sefer called Rishimas Shiurim, which was published by a great friend of mine, Rav Hershey Reichman, Shlita, and it's a summary of the Rav's Shiurim on Masechta Sukkah. And he says the following, that the Rav reminisced about his childhood. It was raining on the first night of Sukkot. And there are many parts of the world where that's quite common. Now, he says that my father, Rav Moshe, was knowing that we go into the house and we wait for a period of time to see if the rains will stop. Now, the reason for that is we don't want to eat outside the sukkah because although mitztayer is potter min ha-sukkah, so the rest of sukkahs, when it rains, I eat in the house. But there are Rishonim who hold that on the first night of sukkahs, where there's an absolute chiyuv to eat in the sukkah, it applies even if it's mitztayer. So, for example, if I have to put on tefillin and it's going to be mitztayer, I have to put on tefillin. Every mitzvah is obligatory even if it's mitztayer, and so too the mitzvah of sukkah. So the mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah, according to that school of thought, in the Rishonim, would only apply to the rest of sukkahs, but not to the first night of sukkah. And what happened? Ma'ase shahaya kachoy, ha-gishamim lo pasku, ad li'achar shekulanu, ha-yiladim v'chol b'nei ha-mishpacha, achalnu pas b'sukkah b'yesi yiridas kshamim, v'alachnu lishon. So we ate a pas in the sukkah, because of that sheet in the Rishonim that mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah does not apply in the first night. So in the rain, we ate the pas. Then we went to sleep. All of us except for Dad. Father stayed up. And then, in the middle of the night, it stops raining. Oh, Rav Moshe goes running around, waking everybody up, and we got to go down to the sukkah to eat another kibbetz. So, the Rav is reminiscing about what happened in his youth, and he says, I don't understand what my father did. He says, Mimadavshach, if the reason why we have to eat a kibbetzah in the sukkah after it stops raining is because there are Rishonim who say the mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah applies even on the first night. So the kibbetzah that we ate while it was raining is null and void because we ate it and we were mitztayer. So if you're going to be machmir because of the shita that mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah, why are you waking me up in the middle of the night? Lo ye'im mitztayer godol mizeh. And now the Rav gives a whole pilpul analyzing and dissecting his father's psak of who knows how many decades beforehand. I mean, you see a lot about Messias HaTorah here. So the Rav says that there are two categories of mitztayer. There's one mitztayer because the sukkah creates tsar. You know, it's too hot in the sukkah, it's raining in the sukkah, mosquitoes in the sukkah, whatever it might be. The second category of mitztayer is how much of a pain is it to get to the sukkah? Do I have to walk 10 miles to get to the nearest sukkah? That's also mitztayer potter min ha-sukkah. So Rav Soloveitchik says that there's a fundamental difference between these two categories. In a case that the sukkah itself doesn't lend itself to a normal, comfortable kind of living situation, and it's mitztayer machmas ha-sukkah, he says that if you sit in sukkah, that's not considered a maisa of yeshiva besukkah. If, on the other hand, mitztayer potim in ha-sukkah because it's a long distance to walk to get to the sukkah, he says, there you do have, if you decide for whatever reason that you're going to take the trek and you hike all the way to the, you know, to the end of town, you know, not chutz l'tchum, but within the tchum, and you sit in somebody's sukkah, he says, for sure you have a maisa mitzvah of sukkah. So he says that father was of the opinion that those who say that you're potem in a mitzvah on, for the sukkah on, because of its tire, They were only referring to the sukkah itself. If he's mitztayer in the sukkah, then even on the first night, he doesn't sit in sukkah because, according to that shita, he doesn't have a maisa yeshiva b'sukkah if he's mitztayer machmas ha-sukkah. However, even those rishonim who would maintain that mitztayer potem in a sukkah on the first night, like all the other nights, he would still maintain that the second category of mitztayer, meaning when you have to schlep from here to there and it's a pain, but the sukkah is beautiful and comfortable, that does not apply on the first night. So therefore, Moshe held the following, that we have to be machmir for the shita that holds mitztayer potim in a sukkah even on Leil Rishon. That which we ate in the sukkah, according to the shita, was nothing. But now we have to get out of bed in the middle of the night in order to get to a comfortable sukkah because it's no longer raining. That mitztayer potim in a sukkah doesn't apply, even according to that shita. So mitztayer potim in a sukkah only applies when it's mafkir the maisa sukkah, the maisa yeshiva. But here, when there's a perfectly comfortable maisa yeshiva, then everybody agrees that mitztayer is chayv in sukkah. So let's take this chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik and swing back to our discussion about those who are waiting online for their rotation on the night of Sukkot. And what are we going to say now? Well, they're hungry, and therefore mitztayer potim in a sukkah. But again, it's not a mitztayer machmas ha-sukkah. It's a mitztayer like the case where you have to get up out of bed in the middle of the night and walk to the other end of the town in order to get into a sukkah. And even if I hold mitztayer potim in a sukkah, that's only if it's mitztayer machmas ha-sukkah. But here it's not machmas ha-sukkah. It's only my physical, you know, hunger pains. And therefore I'm still chayv in sukkah. So that which Rav Shechter presents here, that we're going to allow the people who are waiting for their rotation, their chance to eat in the sukkah, we're going to allow them to eat, is not based on Rav Soloveitchik. He quotes a tshuva of Rav Kiveger, and he says the following. He says, he says that ha'im tzarch lahamtin zman merubat sheyagia hator shelo kishaholchem beserigin zegzim. Oh, b'shas yeshiva b'sukkah eina mitztayer. Oh, it's very similar to what we said. I don't know. He doesn't seem to come to any necessary conclusion. Let me just see. In the English, he writes, if one shift must wait a very long time for its turn, the delay may cause a situation of its tire, and the members of that shift are potentially exempt from sukkah. Oh, however, this would not apply on the first two nights of sukkahs, when even a mitztayer must eat in the sukkah. Wow. So it does seem that he finds really no leniency possible. Okay. Now, I know it's getting a little late, so let me add a few things. First of all, as far as lulav is concerned, for health reasons. Again, in those communities, we're talking about where not everyone has their own set of Dalad Minim. So this question came in front of Rav Osha Zelig Weiss, and it was asked him by communities in Russia and Eastern Europe, and many of the people do not have their own personal Dalad Minim. They're waiting online for their turn when they can ask the Gabbai to give them a chance to take the Dalad Minim. And they're asking, since the Dalad Minim are now being handled by so many people, that increases the chances of the virus infecting others, and they want to know if they could wear gloves, and perhaps even require that everyone who's using the communal Dalad Minim wear gloves. So Rav Osher Zelig Weiss quotes the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tuf Reish Nun Aleph, Siv Zayin, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, Im Korach Sudar Al Yodo Yesh Omer Delo Yotza. Now, whenever the Shulchan Aruch quotes only one opinion, you know that he paskins like that opinion. In this case, he only quotes one opinion, although he implies that there's another opinion. And therefore, Korach Sudar Al Yodo, if he ties around his hands some sort of a Sudar, he's not Yotze the Mitzvah Dalad Minim. And he writes that there's a minog in amongst Ashkenazim who do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, that they should take off the tabos around the tefillin shel yad when they take the Dalad Minim. And the source for this is a Gemara in Masechtas Sukkah. And it's not clear from the Gemara itself why wearing gloves is excluded and disqualifies the mitzvah. One theory is because it's a chatzitza, and since the Torah requires a lekachtem, lekicha requires a direct contact between the hands and the lulav without any separation, without any chatzitza. The Ran holds, on the other hand, that there's no psul of chatzitza. Why? Because if he's wearing these gloves, and the gloves cover his hands very tightly, then it's almost considered like he has direct contact. But he says that there's a mitzvah called lekicha tama, and that's a drasha from the word ulekach tem, lekicha tama. And based on that halacha, the Ran says there's a problem in lekicha tama if you're wearing gloves. So Rav Weiss comes to the following conclusion. He says that wearing gloves, if it's a psul of chatzitza, then this is not called ulekachtem, and that would undermine the mitzvah of Dalad Minim, not only on the first day, which is d'oraisa, but even on the balance of the yontif, even those days that are only d'rabbana. Then he asks, but what if it's a halach in lekicha tama? Can we at least allow this for the rest of the days of Sukkos? So he quotes a Tosus in Sukkah on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis with regard to chaser. So let's say you have a piece of the esrog, for example, that's missing. That disqualifies the esrog only on the first day because it's not lekicha tama. And on the first day, we must have a lekicha tama. But for the balance of the days, he says, Tosfos, that even a chaser is kosher. Talo af mashar bas minim ma'akvim zeze, mishum she'ein ze lekicha tama. He says that what is Tosfos talking about, that there's no requirement of lekicha tama? The halacha of lekicha tama tells you that you have to take four minim. And less than four minim is not lekicha tama, and that applies the entire chag. Elo dekol davi meikar alekicha noy kol shiva, v'chol she'enu meikar alekicha noy grak biyom rishon. So he says that even Tosus will agree that if there's something that's so fundamental to define your lekicha, And it's disqualified because it's not a lekicha that qualifies as lekicha tama, that applies all 7 days. So in the case of chaser, that doesn't undermine your lekicha. and therefore for the balance of the chag you can take a chaser. But in the case of wearing gloves, where according to the Ran, that's not called the lakicha tama, that's already a din that's inherent in the lakicha itself, and it's like the case where he doesn't have all four minim, so he doesn't have a full lakicha, and therefore Niral and Yistaiti comes to the conclusion, the ein litol dalin minim, kasha lovesh kfafos. He says that everyone who's waiting online to get their chance to take the dalin minim should wash his hands very well with that kind of gel, what's it called, the alcohol, and so forth and so on, but he doesn't want to even raise the possibility, even during the rest of the chag, that you could take the dalad min. Now, as far as sukkah is concerned, I have to tell you a little story on Rosh Hashanah, no, I'm sorry, on Yom Kippur, we had a possibility. It was an amazing miracle that the powers to be allowed us to daven inside the shul. And again, that might sound like such a big deal in Canada, but here it was a big deal. However, one of the big advantages of davening inside the shul was that it was air-conditioned. Outside it was very hot. We had a heat wave here on Yom Kippur. But there were those in our community who insisted that the windows be open, because that allows like germs to go out the window. So that's just the story that I'm telling you. Why am I telling you this story? Because on Sukkot, when you have X number of people crowded into a sukkah, you want to keep the air open from this perspective. Again, I'm not a health expert, so I'm just throwing this out. So the poskim want to know, can you rely on what's called go to achis mechitzta, which means that you set up defanos that are 10 tefachim high, but you leave open the airspace between the top of the 10 tefachim, which is probably around waist, like my waist size or my chest, and the schach. Now there's another complicated issue where the schach has to be directly overhead above the defanos, so what can we have love with? But that's already a very sophisticated question. But as far as God Achis, can we imagine the mechitzah, the dofen, going all the way up, and therefore the dofen doesn't have to reach the schach? That's a machlokas rishonim, and the Ran holds that God Achis mechitzah is only something that applies to Shabbos. It doesn't help you in sukkah. So you really want the dofen to reach all the way up to the schach. So I don't know, maybe b'shas hadchak, we could rely on most rishonim against the Ran, and we can allow for airspace. There's another issue in my humble opinion, and that's what's called a teshu kein taduru. It has to be ke'en taduru. Now, again, depending upon where you are in the world at that time of the year, in some places the climate is such is that if you have low dfanos and you leave open, then the wind is just going to blow everything. It's very uncomfortable. And who knows what it's going to do to your schach. So every situation has to be judged. But if the opening between the top of the tfanos and the schach is not that large, it's a couple of tfachim, then perhaps it's not going to undermine a ke'en taduru, and it's not going to allow the gusts of air to come into the sukkah and blow away your schach. So every situation has to be judged to itself. Now, there are two other paragraphs I wanted to add. Officially, my time has passed. I'm just going to fit it in for anyone who wants to listen. And the first paragraph is about Simchas Torah. And of course, I don't have to tell you, we have a meeting of Hakafos. And my Rebbe told us that there are a lot of deep meanings to Hakafos. The Vilna Gaon, he said, was of the opinion that the hakafos really are meant to recreate, well, I can't say recreate because we're talking about the end of days, but to anticipate, if you will, the ultimate machol shel tzaddikim. The Gemara says that ultimately at the end of days, God will make a circle of the tzaddikim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be in the middle. And and all the tzaddikim are going around equidistant from the middle where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And the Gaon actually was makpid that during HaKafos, no one should be standing at the bima. You know, if we're going around the bima, because he felt that would be almost like an insult to the Shekhinah, because the whole ritual is to surround HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, we don't want anyone standing there. And this is based at the Gemara at the end of Tainus. Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos mochol letzadikim v'hu, referring to him with a capital H, Yoshev Beinayim, and he's kol echad vechad marabetz bo shenever bayomahu hine elokeinu zeh. The tzaddikim will point to the Shekhinah. And anachdu osim hakafos kiilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu biemtza al habima. So we're all equidistant from the bima. That was the Gaon. The Rav Zichron Levracha had another take on HaKafos. He thought that the Torah itself is in the middle, which is interesting because we do the HaKafos holding the Sifrei Torah, and that's an ancient minhag. But it seems from the Rav's perspective, the Ikar are the Sifrei Torah that are on the Bima, not the ones that we're taking around. You know, a lot of people feel, why are you taking away the Sifrei Torah and putting them on the Bima? But the Rav felt that we all have to be equidistant from the Torah that's on the beam, like a hub is equidistant from the circle, you know, the circumference of the circle, because everyone has a chelik in Torah. So there are a lot of deep meanings to HaKafos. And again, I say with the krech that unfortunately this year we will not have those kind of HaKafos. In fact, here in this part of the world, HaKafos will take place outdoors, which might in and of itself be a good thing, get other people involved. But on the other hand, there's going to be an issue about taking the Sifrei Torah out. So we're going to have HaKafos together with Kriyas HaTorah, so the Kriyas HaTorah will allow us to take the Sifrei Torah out, and then we can do HaKafos with the Sifrei Torah. But it's going to be a funny kind of HaKafos, because there's certain families that can stick together like glue, because they live together, so there's no problem of corona. And they will have their own little dances, and for most of us, it's going to be it's going to be something else entirely, you know. So we're going to be missing that. But, you know, we have a principle called Neshalma Parm Svasenu, that just like we don't have the, you know, the Shnei Asirim, we learn about the Shnei Asirim. It's as if we brought the Shnei Asirim on Yom Kippur. Here, too, we have to learn about the HaKafos, and it's as if we actually did the HaKafos. And last but not least, I think that this year's Sukkah might have a very profound message, as it does every year, but in this year particular, because my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, used to always talk about the vulnerability of man. You know, humility is so critical. You know, modern man is very full of himself, you know, with all the technology, and we do things, we've accomplished things that are amazing. I mean, landing someone on the moon is just one little brick, one nidbach, but it's so many things that we've accomplished with technology. But comes corona, and forget it. I mean, you're talking about this, you're talking about that. So everyone thinks they have the answer. You know, the social distancing, wearing masks, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And we think that we have all the answers. You know, we're going to create a vaccine, and corona is just going to disappear. But the truth of the matter is, Ein lanu lishein el avinu shebashamayim. And that's really the message of Sukkos, that we leave the comforts of our home, and we're vulnerable to the natural elements. When you're out in the sukkah, you know, there are going to be challenges, especially in Canada. I remember when I first landed in Canada, I happened to have a close friend here in Yerushalayim whose daughter lives in Canada for quite a number of years. She married into a very famous, upstanding Canadian Torontonian family. And I said to Zahava, how are you managing? So she told me, Sukkos is particularly hard for me because it's been 7 years since I landed here in Toronto and I have never yet had a full meal in the sukkah, that she told me. So, you know, the idea of going out to the sukkah is really a hodas bal din, in a sense where man is, for 7 days at least, he's acknowledging the fact that everything is bidei shamayim. It's all the schach, you know, it's all the tzela de mamnusa. And in this year, I think we can really relate to that, and let's put out, you know, I mean, on a conceptual level, I mean, in mind, let's put on the side all our answers and all our security measures and health measures in, that we think are going to solve the problem of Corona. And let's realize that it's all part of divine providence. And if God decides that we'll be protected, then we'll be protected.
So these are the topics that we covered today, Mirtz Hashem, about Sukkah, about Lulav, a little bit about, you know, taking the Lulav with gloves, and when we could start our meal in the Sukkah, and when we should eat the meal, can we start early in the rotation system? And in general, the question of Mitztar Potem in a Sukkah, these are some of the issues, and we should be Zochem Mirtz Hashem to fulfill all these mitzvahs the way they should be fulfilled. In terms of Hakafas, that's a little bit more complicated, and we'll talk more about that as we get closer, Emir Tzashem, to Chag Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. So all the best. Wish you all a Chag Sameach, and thank you for joining me.